Welcome to our Sichas Shir, our Project Lakuta Sicha Shir. This week, or tonight, we will be doing Parshas Nasai, Sicha Beis. This is not a very long Sicha, we will be doing it inside. But first, before we start the actual Sicha, let's have a look at the actual Psukim upon which the Sicha is based. And it is a Rashi Sicha. So let's first have a look at the Psukim, and then the Rashis, and then we'll go into the actual Sicha itself. The last pasuk of this week's parsha is pasuk peites, and this pasuk talks about Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Hashem and how it was that Hashem spoke to Moshe. So pasuk peites ubevay Moshe el oyel ma'ed, when Moshe would come to the oyel ma'ed, which is the Mishkan, ledaber itoy, to speak with Hashem. With him, with Hashem, Vayishma es hakol medaber elav, he would hear the voice of Hashem speaking to him. Me'al hakapares asher al aron ha'edus, from the top of the kapares was the covering of the aron that was in the Kodesh Kedashim, and that was called the aron ha'edus because the luchais were inside that aron. Mibein shnei ha-kruvim, and the voice came from on top of the aron and from between the two kruvim that were on top of the aron, to on top of the kapares. Vayidaber elav, and he spoke to him, or thus he spoke to him. So as you can see already from the pasuk, when we look at it very carefully, there are some words that are repeated quite a number of times. And that word is, the key word going on there, as you can see, is dibor. He comes here, ledaber itoy, to speak to Hashem. He hears the voice, medaber elav, speaking to him. And then at the end it says again, vayidaber elav. And Hashem spoke to him, to Moshe Rabbeinu. So when we look at the Rashi, there's a number of Rashis that come up under this pasuk. There's actually four different Rashis here on this pasuk. But what I'd like you to see is here we have, first of all, Rashis. You see a source number 2 on the sheet. We have the Rashi on the word midaber. We have, and we're not going to go into that Rashi, but I want you to note that the Rashi speaks about this word midaber. Then we have another Rashi on the words vayidaber elav. And then a third Rashi on the words vayishma es hakol. Okay? So again, we have the word midaber, vayidaber, and vayishma es hakol. Let's go back to the pasuk, and what do you notice? Normally, if we're reading a pasuk and we look at the Rashis, we would expect Rashi to go in the order of the pasuk and to give us an explanation of the issues that might come up in the pasuk. So here we have the word midaber. So Rashi talks about the word midaber. What is the next dibur hamaschil? Vayidaber elav. Where is that in the pasuk? We can see it's right here. It's at the very end of the pasuk. So we have a Rashi on the word midaber. We have a Rashi again on the word vayidaber at the end of the pasuk. And then after that, the final Rashi is vayishma es hakol. And he heard the voice. And we go back to the pasuk. Where is that in the pasuk? And we can see it's right here. Vayishma es hakol is before the first medaber elav. So, of course, that raises a question. Why would Rashi be quoting this out of order? Why would his divur hamaschil of vayishma es hakol be placed at the end, rather than where it would be belong, in front of the divur hamaschil of medaber? So, now that we see that, let's have a look at what Rashi actually says about the word vayidaber elav. So on the words vayidaber elav, Hashem spoke to him, Rashi basically says, lama'ait es aron min hadibres. So the Torah is emphasizing that Hashem is speaking to him, to Moshe alone, excluding aron from this communication. The next Rashi, vayishma es hakol, Rashi says, Moshe heard this voice, yachol kol namuch. We would think that perhaps this was a low voice, a quiet voice. Talmud Lomar, so the Pasuk tells us, es ha-kol, the kol, hu ha-kol shenidbar imai b'Sinai, the kol, the very specific voice, this is the voice that spoke to Moshe at Sinai. Uchshem magia laf Pesach, haya nifsak. But when it reached the opening of El Moed, it would stop. V'loi haya yoytze chutz la'ayel. And it would not, the voice would not go out of Oyel Moed. Okay, straightforward Rashi's it seems. Let's now go to the actual Sicha itself and see the questions that the Rebbe raises about this particular Rashi. Okay, so of course we know when a Sicha begins, in the first ice, the Rebbe will quote the Pasuk and the Rashi, and then the Rebbe will raise the questions that come up because of this Rashi. So let's begin. And I'll put on the spotlight here for you so you can follow along. Okay, the Pasuk ubavai Moshe Gaimer. So in the Pasuk, when Moshe would come, Ledaber itai, to speak with him, with Hashem, the Gaimer, Gaimer, Vayishma es hakol, medaber elav, Gaimer, vayidaber elav. So the Rebbe is pointing out that this Pasuk has a number of sections, and each one of these, or most of these parts, are parts that Rashi quotes. Mefarish Rashi, Rashi explains, vayidaber elav. Right, we saw that that word vayidaber came up multiple times, dibor medaber, ledaber, lemait ar min hadibreis. That repeats the words again, Vayidaber Elav, Hashem spoke to Moshe, to exclude Aaron from this communication. Kavanas Rashi Bepashtasi. So when we read this, it would seem from the straightforward, you know, we look at it, we would learn Rashi like a Ben Chomish Lemikra. We're looking at the Rashi and we think, well, maybe Rashi's intention is this. Hatevois Vayidaber Elav, Hei Miyusarais L'chaira. It seems that these words, Vayidaber Elav, since it seems to be repetitive, they seem to be extra. Ki kvar nemar lifnei zeh, the Pasuk already said, Vayishma es hakol medaber elav. Right before those words, it already said that he heard the voice speaking to him. So why do I need the Pasuk to tell me again, Vayidaber Elav? We just said, he heard the voice speaking to him. V'lachein mefaresh, therefore, Rashi's explaining, Shehichbil hakasuv lahadki shadibur haya a love. So Rashi's explaining the fact that we seem to have a double lashon, a repetitive word here. And this is stressing that when Hashem spoke, the dibur, the speech, was a love only to him. El Moshe dafka, ulamait ar min hadibris. So vaydaber a love is stressing that this talking was only to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it was not, Aaron did not hear it. Okay, the Rebbe continues, La'acha she'perish Rashi es ha'tevas vayidaber elav. And then as we just saw on our source sheet, as after Rashi explains what vayidaber elav means, Ma'atikhu es ha'tevas vayishma es hakol. He then copies the words from the Pasuk, vayishma es hakol. Umafarish and explains, Yochol kol namuch, we would think it's a low voice, a quiet voice, Talmud Lomar, es hakol. So the Pasuk says, no, it's the voice. You might think it's a low voice, no, it's the voice. Hu hakol shenidbar imai b'Sinai, this is the voice that spoke to him at Sinai. Uchshmagia lapesach, but when it reached the door of Oel Mayet haya nifsak, it would stop. V'loi haya yaitse chutz la'ayel, and it would not go outside of the ayel. So we seem to have a very long Rashi. And as we know from the Rebbe's Mahalach, the way the Rebbe learns Rashi, is that when a Rashi seems to have a longer explanation, we have to ask ourselves, why do we need all the extra explanation? What is Rashi really trying to tell us? So the Rebbe continues, V'kavada say b'pashtasi. Again, just like before when we said Vaidaber Elav, we think the Pasha simply it sounds like the Rashi is trying to explain why we have a double lashon of Vaidaber. Here too we could say, what's Papashas? What's bothering Rashi? Shalashon hakasav es hakol behe hayidia. The word hakol, Vayishma es hakol, he heard the voice, has a hey hayidia. It has a definite article, hey, in front of it. He heard the voice. Not he heard a voice, but he heard the voice. So whenever the Torah speaks about something very specific like that, it's telling us it's something that we should know about. Mashmi'enu, this makes us hear, Shehu hakol hayaduo mikfar, that this is a known voice. So what voice do we have that's a known voice? Hainu hakol shenidbar imayshe b'sinai. The known voice that we know, a voice that we've heard of before, is a special voice that spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. The kol zeh, and this voice, badai shahaya kol gadol, for sure, this voice was not a low voice. This voice would have been a very loud voice. Great voice. Sharei shamo, I say, kol hashishim ribui anashim, v'nashim v'chulum Yisrael. Because we know at Har Sinai, the entire Jewish people, all 600,000 of them, and those were men, plus the women and the children, everybody, heard this voice. So it could not have been a low voice. So now we have the questions coming up. But Tzarech Lahavin, we have to understand. Number one, Bekasuv Nemar, Vayishma Es Hakol, Va'achakach Medaber Elav, Gomer Vaydaber Elav. As we saw again at the beginning, in the Pasuk, we have these three phrases in this order. Vayishma Es Hakol, Moshe Rabbeinu heard the voice, and then the words Medaber Elav, speaking to him, and then Vaydaber Elav, and then Hashem spoke to him. V'lama Mishana Rashi B'seder Perushe Hatevais. Why does Rashi change the order when he's explaining the words? Umafarish Medaber. He first explains Medaber. Then Vaydaber Elav. Kaidem Perushai Vaishma Es Hakol. Before he brings his explanation on the words Vaishma Es Hakol. That seems very odd. Why would Rashi explain the Pasuk in a different order to the Pasuk itself? Beis. Mizeh shakasav Rashi, yachol kol namuch. Because Rashi starts off the explanation about the voice by saying, you might think it's a low voice. Mashma shasvara hachitzonis hi shakol haya namuch. That makes, again, we hear from this that we would think that it might be an opinion or an idea that this voice was a low voice. Ubaha kasav lahaydi enu. So the pasuk comes to tell us, shahu hakol shenidbar ima b'sinai. It was the voice that was spoken at Har Sinai. Ulacharav. So we have to ask, mehecha tesi loy masha kol haya namuch v'loy kol mumutza akapanim al derech haragil. Where does this come from to say that the voice was a low voice and not a normal voice or a middle of the road voice or at least like normal, like we talk about, you know, inside voice? Why would we think that it was a low voice? Where would that come from? Because Rashi seems to say very matter-of-factly, you might think that it was a low voice. Why would we come to think that? Where does that come from? Gimel, question number three. B'chdei liyashev mashenemar es hakol behei hayidia. In order to help us understand why the pasuk uses the definite article and says the voice, right? We have this definite article, is the voice. So all Rashi needed to tell us was, this is the voice that spoke to him at Sinai. So why does Rashi elaborate and keep going and explaining? And when it got to the door, the opening of Almighty, it stopped. Rashi Khan, this doesn't seem to have any relevance to what Rashi is trying to tell us. If the issue is, what is the voice? What is the known voice that we're talking about? He just had to say the first part. Why is he going on and telling us about the voice stopping? And then our final question, Dalid. Lama matik Rashi gam teveis vayishma es hakol. Why does Rashi include in his Dibur HaMasel the three words vayishma es hakol, that he heard the voice? And again, as we know from our previous Rashi Sichas, that the Dibur HaMasril, according to the Rebbe, when we study Rashi, the Dibur HaMasril, the title of the Rashi, is very important. Rashi only quotes the words that are relevant to what he's trying to explain or that help answer the question that he has. So they've got to be relevant to the explanation. So here, if we're saying that the issue here is in the words Hakol, the voice, and which voice it was, so then the Rebbe says, why doesn't Rashi just have as his Dibur HaMasel the word Hakol? Why do we have all three words, Vayishma es Hakol, that he heard the voice? Hare l'chara lo balavar ela tevas hakol. He seems only to be explaining what the voice is about. So why does he not just include that in the deeper hamaskil? So there we have our four questions. The order. Why does Rashi quote things out of order? Rashi assumes that we would automatically think that the voice might be a low voice. Where does that come from? If he's only talking about the voice from Har Sinai, why does he elaborate? The voice stopped. And number four, if he's talking about the voice, why does he have more words in his title? Why not just have the words Hakol? So now the Rebbe is going to start to explain it. I space. La'achrei sh'rashi mefarish sh'hatev vice v'idaber elav bo'u l'ma'it ara min hadibreis. After Rashi gave us that first explanation on v'idaber elav, the v'idaber elav Hashem spoke to him only to Moshe, that it came to exclude Aaron, v'haino sh'aron gam b'hiyose bo'el ma'ed, which would mean that Aaron, even though he would be standing or be with Moshe in Oel Ma'ed, lo yishama es hadibros. He would not hear this speech. He would not hear Hashem's words. So Moshe and Aaron together could have been standing in Oel Ma'ed. Moshe would hear it, but not Aaron. So Miss Areves Svara Loimar. So you might have an opinion, you might have an idea here and say, oh, why was it the case that Aaron didn't hear it? Shema shelo shema Aaron es hadibros ha'iselazeh siba tivis. Perhaps Aaron didn't hear these utterances from Hashem for a natural reason. Maybe it wasn't miraculous. Maybe it was just natural. That what? Hakol haya namuch. Maybe the voice was a very quiet, low voice. V'lachein Moshe shahaya gibar. And therefore Moshe, who was much stronger, who had heightened sense in every way, k'maisha nemar, like it says, when he came to Yisrael, vayavo ha-ra'im, that the shepherds came, vayigarshum vayakam Moshe vayashayan, that the shepherds came and chased them away, the daughters of Yisrael, and Moshe got up and saved them. So we see that Moshe was very strong, and therefore perhaps he had a heightened sense in every shape and way. So yesh laimar, that all his senses were more refined, were stronger. So that means he also had a heightened sense of hearing. Gamba erach Aaron, also relative to Aaron, he had a heightened sense of all his senses, including his hearing. And therefore, the shama esakol, therefore he could hear this voice. Masha enkin Aaron, but Aaron could not. So you might think that that's why only Masha heard it and not Aaron. So in order to ensure that we don't misunderstand this, al pizeh ha'isemuv eres gam hadgashas hakasuv vayishma es hakol. So according to this, we can understand why the Torah stresses that he heard the voice. Shataila hakasuv seder v'ayfen hadibur b'shmi aso shal Moshe. So that the Torah sort of shows us that the way of speech that Moshe heard. Zesha Dibur Haya a love, the fact that this speaking was only to him, El Maisha Levadai, Lamaid Aaron, excluding Aaron, Hareze Mipnei Sharak Maisha Haya Yachalishmaya Esakol Vulai Aaron. You would think in a way that only Maisha could hear it and not Aaron. That's what you might think from just reading the Pasuk. The Zohi Kavanas Rashi. So this is Rashi's intention, but Amro, by telling us, Yachol kol namuch, you might think this was a low voice. When would we think it might be a low voice? Only la'achrei shemafarish v'yidaber elav. Only once Rashi told us that the second time the word v'yidaber is written, right, medaber elav and then v'yidaber elav, that means excluding Aaron. So as soon as we're told that we're excluding Aaron from hearing, that only then might we think, oh, why wouldn't Aaron hear it? Perhaps it was a very low voice. Shadavka la'achrei she'yadua lanu kvar she'vayidaber elav bo l'ma'id Aaron min hadibros. It's only after we know that we are excluding Aaron from hearing these words. Salka daitach, then you would think, laimar she'akol haya namuch, that the voice was low, v'loy haya b'yichalas Aaron l'shamay, and therefore Aaron did not have the ability to hear it. Talmud Lamar Esau Kol. So that's why the Pasuk says the voice. In case you're going to think that it was a low voice, it was the voice. Hu HaKol Shedibar Imai B'Sinai. It was this very loud voice, the same voice he heard at Har Sinai. Shbevada HaYakol Gadol Kanal. So certainly it was a very loud voice. Couldn't have been a low voice. It had to be the voice of Har Sinai. Umikivan Shekain. And if that's the case, Hare Masha Aaron Lo Shama Es HaKol. If Aaron did not hear this voice, Loi hayazem ipnei sibativis. This was not for natural reasons. It wasn't because his sense of hearing was weaker than Moshe Rabbeinu's. No. Ela sha'idei neis lo hayah kol nishma el l'maisha. This was a miracle. This is a miracle that this voice, this very loud voice of Har Sinai, could only be heard by Moshe Rabbeinu. V'agashas ha'kasuf hi v'yishma es ha'kol. And that's why the pasuk stresses, and he heard the voice. Chidush haya be'inyan sharak Moshe shama es ha'kol. So that's the chidush. That's the new thing the pasuk is trying to tell us, that vayishma he, singular, vayishma es ha'kol, only Moshe Rabbeinu heard this voice. Okay. So now we understand, we've answered our first question of why the order is out of order. Because the question we would have on hearing this voice only comes up after we know that Aaron was excluded. Okay, but we still have a question. If this is the case, we want to know something else. So, Eis Gimel. Omnam, lefi zeh tis'ayr ha'shayla. According to this, another question comes up. V'shalma ima kol haya namuch. If it would have been simple, if like, in other words, if we understand that this voice was low, or at least it wasn't that loud, right? So if it was low, or maybe not that loud, move on. Masha Maisha Hayat Sarech Likanes La'ayamaye Lishmaya Esako. So if this voice was a low voice, or maybe a regular sounding voice, we would understand why Moshe Rabbeinu would have to come to Ohel Moed to listen to this voice. But now that we have understood this to be the same voice that he heard at Har Sinai, Hare mitzad teva hakol, haya efshar sheyye nishma gam l'merachayk. Then for the nature of this voice, if it was such a loud voice, should have been that it would be easily heard even from far away. Michutz la'ayal mayed, at a distance from ayal mayed. Uvachol zahe nishma rak l'maisha, even if it would still be miraculously only heard by Maisha. K'maisha gam ba'ayal mayed lo haya nishma la'aron ayidei nes. Just like even at ayal mayed, Maisha only heard it and not Aaron. So too, if this voice was so loud, why did Moshe need to come to Ohel Moed altogether? Could have been if it was a loud voice, he would have heard it anywhere he was. And it could have been miraculous that only he heard it and nobody else. V'im kein, lama husrach Moshe levoi l'Ohel Moed l'shmaya es ha'kol. And if that's the case, then what was the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu would have to come to Ohel Moed to hear this voice altogether? If it was a loud voice, why does he need to come to Ohel Moed? L'yashev she'ela zu. So, to answer this question, and again, it's a question that only comes up after we've mentioned that this is the voice that was heard at Har Sinai. Mamshich Rashi, therefore Rashi has to continue and tell us. That this was this very loud voice. However, when it came to the door of Ohel Moed, it stopped. It did not go past the door of Ohel Moed. Zaisa Meres, Shemitzad Teva, Hakol Haya Efsher Sheye Nishma Gam Michutz Ohel Moed. Yes, according to nature, this was a very loud voice. And naturally, this voice should have been heard even outside Ohel Moed. Ela Sha'ayidei Neis. But again, through a miracle, Kishemagia LePesach Haya Nifsak. When it got to the door of Ohel Moed, it would stop. It would not go past Oyel Ma'ed. Lachain huskak Moshe lavoit lo Oyel Ma'ed l'shmaya esakol. And that's why Moshe had to come to Oyel Ma'ed to hear it, because it was a loud voice, but it miraculously stopped. So in the same way, it was miraculously only heard by Moshe Rabbeinu in Oyel Ma'ed and not Aaron, so too it miraculously stopped at the door of Oyel Ma'ed and did not extend past it. And that's why when Moshe wanted to speak to Hashem and hear Hashem's voice or Hashem's words to him, he had to come to Oyel Ma'ed. So we've asked our Rashi questions, we've answered them. What does this mean for ourselves? So Miyena Shel Torah Shebeperush Rashi. The Rebbe is now going to tell us. The initial Torah, of course, is the inner aspect, the wine of Torah, the Chassidus, the point, what this means for us. And it starts off with basically saying that we have really another question that comes up. This itself, that the voice stopped at the door of Oyel Ma'ed, requires some explanation. Mikaven sha'al pi teva haya hakol tzarech liyos nishma lemerachayk gam bichutz la'ayom ha'ed. Since al pi teva, this voice should have been able to be heard even outside Oyom ha'ed. Lama nifsach kishayegi lepesach. Why did it stop when it came to the door? Umishum kach huskach Moshe levoy el Oyom ha'ed ledaber itay. And that's why Moshe had to come. Why did it have to be that way? In other words, we first asked that question the other way, right? Why did Moshe have to come? If it was such a loud voice, why did he have to come to Oyel Ma'ed? And we answered, because the voice stopped. So now we turn the question around. But why did the voice have to stop? If it naturally was such a loud voice and it would naturally have been heard, why did Hashem have to create this miracle that it did not stop? Right? This was a unique miracle to actually stop the voice, to make sure it wasn't heard outside. Why? The explanation of this is, Rashi. This is explained based on what Rashi said. Hu hakol shenidbar imay b'Sinai. This is the voice that spoke to him at Sinai. What do we know about the voice at Sinai? And whatever we know about that voice at Sinai, the same thing applies here. So what do we know about that voice that they heard at Sinai? Bekol shenidbar imay b'Sinai, with the voice that spoke at Sinai, matzinu gam kein inyan shel hefsek. We also find that that voice of Hashem at Sinai also stopped. Ela shehefsek ze hayalo b'makon. It just said that stopping of the voice at Har Sinai wasn't about a place. In other words, it wasn't that it was contained in a specific space. K'may kol shebemishkan, like we're saying here about the voice in the Mishkan. Ela b'zman. But it was contained in time. In other words, we heard it only for a very specific time. Shela achrei matan Torah, because we know that after the Torah was given, after matan Torah, b'mshayach hayayvel, the pasuk says, when there was this long blast of the shayfer, nifsak hakol de matan Torah. That's when the voice stopped. So we know that it says that that's when the Shechina would leave, when they heard this long blast of the shayfer, and at the end they knew that was the end. Ukamai Shaperish Rashi, and this is what Rashi says. Kishayimsha Chayoivel, when there was this drawing out blast of the horn, of the ram's horn, Husiman Siluk Shechina Tafsakas Hakol. This was a sign that the Shechina was now removed and the end of this voice. So just like it was then that there was the voice stopped, so to here. So our question is, why did the voice stop at Matan Torah? Why is that not a continuous voice that we hear all the time? Now, because the reason for that voice stopping at Matan Torah is understood, had that voice of Hashem be heard even after Matan Torah, it would have interfered with our avida, with our service of Hashem, with free choice. Because if the voice of Hashem saying, I am Hashem, your God, would be in a revealed matter, then there would be no way we would be able to have any free choice. We would never choose otherwise. And as we know, this is the way we explain the whole idea of kaf aleim harkegigis. If you look at the actual footnote number 21, as we see here, right? Peperish Mamar Hazal, as we find from Chazal, Benogei Lamai Ben Har Sinai, as it one was during Har Sinai, Kafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleim Har Kegigas. Hashem held the mountain over their head. And we know that there's of the famous question that comes up about this Medrash, that if Hashem held the mountain over their head and said, if you accept the Torah, good, if you don't, right, I drop the mountain over you, that's the seems to be the pshat of it. There's a big question that comes up, because if you're forced to do something, then you can't be punished for not doing it or rewarded for keeping it. You were forced. So that's a huge question that comes up. Well, how then can we receive rewards for keeping the Torah or be punished for not keeping it if we were forced? Because Hashem said, keep, you know, accept the Torah or else I drop the mountain on your head. And of course, what's explained is that what is this idea of Kaf Alem Harke Gigas? It's actually like a metaphor. It's trying to tell us that what? Shehis Ayru Zu Belibam L'Kapalo Satar B'Vchinas Mesir Shnefesh V'Chulu Lo Ha'yazeh Mitzidam B'Vchira V'Ratzayin Asher Me'atzmam Levad. That this is this arousement they had, this desire to want to accept the Torah at that time, it didn't really come solely from them at all. Why? It was because there was this first, this tremendous revelation from Hashem to them. Hashem loved them so much. And therefore, because it was like reciprocal, Hashem had showed them so much that of course they would have accepted it. And like we know, when we talk about choice, if something is very obvious to you, you can no longer call that free choice. So at Har Sinai, when they had seen all of these miracles and they heard Hashem's voice, of course they accepted the Torah. And that's why we say, Kaf Aleim Har Kegigas. And we know that it's explained that in Purim, in the Megillah, when it says, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim, Farshmi tell us, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim, that according to the Pshat in Megillah's Esther, it means that once Mordechai and Esther established the days of Purim, that the Jews kept and accepted this day forever, like ongoing as the days of Purim. But Farshmi tell us, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim is also hinting to us that they re-accepted and kept what they had accepted beforehand. In other words, it was a reacceptance of Matan Torah. Because at Matan Torah, when the revelation of Hashem was so obvious, in a sense they were forced, it was really not so much of a choice for them to accept. It was obvious that was the right thing to do. But in the time of Purim, when Hashem was hidden, as we know in Megillas Esther, the name of Hashem does not appear. And the name Megillas Esther itself is Megillah to reveal Esther, that which is hidden. At that time, when they didn't see Hashem openly, and when they could easily have thought that everything was just working the way of nature, yet Mordechai encouraged them all to daven and helped them understand that Hashem was behind all of this, and they turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and at that time, in Golos, that they re-accepted the Torah, that is really the acceptance of the Torah that we live with today, in Golos. And this is the aspect that the Rebbe is talking about here as well. So just like then, at Matan Torah, the voice had to stop so we wouldn't hear it in a revealed way, so that we would have free choice to do the right thing or do the wrong thing. It was for the same reason that the voice had to stop at the door of Ohel Moed and not go out further. Because it was that same voice of Sinai, in other words. Ilu haya kailav l'dibur shal kadosh baruch hu nimshach ba'olam b'kfiyus uvetmidis. If the voice of Hashem and the words of Hashem would spread to the whole world on an ongoing basis, in other words, consistently and always, gam michutz la'ohel moed, and even outside ohel moed, harei az hayenasa olam kulay b'vchinas ohel moed, then the whole world would be ohel moed. V'lo haya makam v'efsharius l'bechira chafshis, and we wouldn't have any free choice. If everything is obvious, then we don't have free choice. The Oid and more, Nisava Kadosh Baruch Hu Liyos Leis Baruch Dir Batachtainim. Hashem wanted a dwelling place Batachtainim Dafka here in the lower world. Meaning what? Haynu Shadafka Tachtain Kaze. Shemi Tzar Atzma Ein Boy Begiloi Kailo B'Dibur Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. What does Hashem want? Hashem wants us to make a dwelling place for Him in His lowest places, in places where, on its own, we do not see a revelation of the voice and speech of Hashem. And dafka vir yamshichu v'yigalu by koila yisbarach. Dafka over there, you want to expect that we will draw down and reveal the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yei asa ayidei avodas ha'adam l'dir la yisbarach. And that we will be able to, they will be happen through the avodah of the person that this world will become a dwelling place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, this is also one of the reasons why we say that when Mashiach comes, Taka, and it will come back to this point that the voice of Hashem, everything will be revealed and we will see it. That's why it says that at that time, we're going to pine for Galus. We're going to pine for the opportunities to serve Hashem in this Galus. We're Michael on that pining. Let Mashiach come already. We'll be very happy right now. But that's the concept, that this avoda that we have to reveal Hashem in this world will no longer be the avoda. So what's the hara for us? I say, umizeh ha'hara l'chol echad v'achas. This is now becomes the hara for each one of us. Sha'al yomar ha'adam, dai li ba'avodasi ba'ol mayed. You know what? It's enough for me, my avoda in ohel mayed. What would that represent? Ba'ol shel Torah. It's enough for me to sit and learn Torah, to sit in the Dalet Amos of Torah. I'll unite myself with the voice of Hashem. I'll sit and I'll learn and I'll be united with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what do I need, everything that's going on outside of Ohel Ma'ed? The Gufi, the Nefesh Bahamas, the Chel Pki Ba'olam, you know, my physical needs, my body, my Nefesh Bahamas, my part in the world. Who needs all that? Let me just sit and learn all day and be in my Dalet Amos of Torah. And therefore, it becomes the message to us. Ki Ikar Avaidasa Shala Adam, our main Avaida, the main Avaida of a person. Av Shebechol Echa Va'achas Yesh M'pchinas Moshe Rabbeinu Olam V'Shalom. Even though within each one of us, we have this spark of Moshe Rabbeinu, Eina b'soich oil mayed atzmai. Our main avoda is not in the oil mayed, in the holy places. Ki'im lemar. It is lemar. What do we mean by lemar? We find often that when most of the times when Hashem is speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, v'yidaber Hashem l'Moshe, lemar. He's telling Moshe Rabbeinu, lemar, to say, to go on and pass on this message to Bnei Yisrael. So too, the avoda of every one of us is what? It's to be like that Moshe Rabbeinu, lemar. To be what? To spread the message. B'chol ha'olam kulay, masha'al sheshama ba'al ma'ed. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever he heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he then passed on to Bnei Yisrael, he spread it. So too, that's our avaida, to spread to the whole world that which we hear in Oil Ma'ed. So we velasais eskala olam kulay diru mishkan la'isbarach. And thereby making the whole world a dwelling place and a mishkan for Hashem. So not because Hashem's voice itself is heard from Hashem's point of view, but we hear the voice, we learn Torah, we understand what we need to do, and then it's our job to pass that on and to bring it into the world outside the Ohel Ma'ed, where Hashem's voice is not heard, but we do that, we spread the word and make those places a dira for HaKadosh Baruch Hu.